here's some interesting. I guess I'll. Sorry.
Stick the landing again. Stick the landing.
You back up.
I think Saturday was just about as close to a perfect ride as you're ever going to get. That was awesome. For those of you who weren't there, which was kind of a small number of people, it felt like most of the team showed up to PCMR on Friday or on Saturday. I'm still riding that high. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was so much fun. The group I was in had a whole bunch of girls in the group, and they were like, when they would ride through a grove of trees where the leaves were changing, they were just like screaming and filming each other while they're riding and stuff. And it was just, it was all about just fun.
Yeah. Cause I did that on Saturday, and then I did Big Mountain Snowbird yesterday. And the whole time I was like, wow, my weekend is someone's once in a lifetime vacation. This is really cool. Almost makes the rent prices worth it. But jumping into the main stuff this week, some of you may have noticed that some of your teammates are riding some slick new Cannondale bikes. We've had some questions. We did want to talk about that. In the past, we've had... let me start here. I think there's kind of a culture that exists in a lot of youth development cycling that you kind of like play dress up as a pro. And you have a deal, and you've got the people you're supposed to tag in your Instagram stuff, and you get your deal or whatever. We have never wanted this team to operate that way. We've always wanted this to be a place where we're interested in the people and the things that they're doing. And I have strong feelings about equipment. I spent a long time in the bike industry. As recently as this summer, I was back, you know, dipping my toes into, you know, so like I have strong feelings about gear and stuff. I give people pretty honest editorial opinions when they ask me about the stuff I use. I've only ever had like one relationship in cycling that I was really supposed to like plug stuff. And I, even then I thought it was good stuff. So like, if you remember maybe 2018, 2019, we had kind of a Cannondale deal. COVID happened, that kind of went away. We have rekindled that. And so we want to talk about that a little bit. But at the outset, I do want to remind people, just make very clear that like we have people on this team who ride with Jibe. We have, you know, like people who have industry hookups and stuff. Maybird will never be a team where we require you to ride a certain bike. And I don't ever see a future where everybody on Maybird rides the same bike. But we're very excited that a big company like Cannondale is stepping up to the plate to help, you know, I don't want to say a ragtag team, but like, you know, a smaller, cheaper team like us with a deal with basically no strings attached. Like, we're not required to get like, oh, well, most of the team has to ride this, or your top riders have to ride this. They're basically saying, for those who want it, we have a really sweet deal. So we did want to talk about that.
We've already got a few of our really top riders have already...
Andrew and Ben are already on these bikes, the Scalpel, if you're not familiar.
Yeah, and Seth's on one too. And
Seth's on one, yep, I saw that.
There's a few others that are kind of starting to lean that way, but and just loving these bikes. Because
yeah,
like I've ridden Cannondales. It's kind of the only bike I've ever really ridden.
Cannondale's like my first real mountain bike.
Yeah, you know, I've...
I was on a Scalpel, two bikes ago now. I had the first gen Scalpel SI.
You know, and we've like Bart Gillespie is basically the Yoda of mountain biking.
Yeah. Really the person in cycling who I think I respect the most. Has been,
you know, and he's always been, involved with Cannondale kind of professionally, and he's kind of remained an ambassador for them. And, Alex Grant, who is involved with the team, is a former Cannondale pro as well.
Yes. Yeah, so we've always kind of had Cannondale was on our kits. I mean, but like I said, COVID kind of happened, and I think a lot of brands were like, we could charge double what we're charging for our bikes right now, and people would still buy them. Like, it didn't make sense business-wise to be giving people deals. Like, I was in the industry when this happened too. But we've got to a point where we're able to offer something, and this is cool. And the other thing that I want to throw out is like, those of you who are in the bike industry and very much know what a Scalpel is, like, this new Scalpel is really interesting. It is not... I think in the past, Cannondale was kind of a insular, if you're going to ride Cannondale, that's got to be your whole thing. Like, lots, like the most proprietary bike on the market. The new Scalpels, which was always, if I'm honest, was always kind of a drawback for me. Different axle standard, you're married to the lefty, bottom bracket stuff could be weird on certain models. This new scalpel is like Andrew took the wheels off of his Epic and put them on this. Like the axle standard's the same. The geometry is very similar to the kind of crop of top-end cross-country bikes right now. I pedaled around on both of theirs, and it felt similar to my Epic, but a little more, you know, kind of springy, lively, racy. Has a pretty similar geometry to the previous gen Epic Evo that a lot of people are on. It's a sweet bike. I can say, and I don't have to say this, like I said, Cannondale's super chill. Like, it's 100% a bike that I'd ride, especially at the deal. Like, I can't, there's definitely not a new bike I would push anyone towards over this scalpel. The only other bike I'd recommend is if, you know, your Nike coach is going to sell you his old bike at some ridiculous deal, or if there's some other, or if you're in the industry and you get whatever hookup on whatever other bike. But
yeah, and Jibe's out there offering our team good deals.
Oh, sure. And again, so like, and this is the other thing we were talking, like, this is really cool that we have different companies who are willing to help out the kid. Like, this is helping out kids on the team. The goal for them is not marketing.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like, they didn't come to us and say, hey, you've got to like plug Cannondale all the time. But I will say that like, the bike's sweet. Like if the
bike is really sweet, and Andrew and Ben are just raving about it.
Yeah, if my Epic fell off the rack on the way home, this is the bike I'd be buying.
Yeah, they went from an S-Works to this bike.
Yep.
And are just loving it. And like I said, I've ridden Cannondales for
a long, long time.
Pretty much ever, basically.
Yeah.
And I just love the feel of them. They're super, super snappy. They just feel super, super lively and just like they want to go fast. And so so it's a super good deal. If you're interested, reach out. Anyone on the team can go to any bike shop that sells Cannondales, and that's Contender, Salt Cycles, mm-hmm. and Canyon, I believe.
Hanger, right?
Hanger.
Yeah. Hanger. They all have... Contender's not stocking Cannondale very deep right now, but if you work with Contender, they can order stuff for you.
And nobody's really stocking because the bike's just barely come out.
Yeah.
So no one's really stocking them, you know, so it's probably going to be something you go in and order.
Yeah. But I can say, like, blanket statement, if you're wondering what Joe's opinion on a new bike is, if you're a member of Maybird and you want to buy a new bike, nothing's going to come close to beating this Cannondale at all. Like, this is for sure.
Yeah, it's a 25% discount across the board for any Maybird rider. You just have to say you ride with Maybird.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but if you're interested in one, just reach out to me.
Yep.
Yeah, talk to me first and we'll
you get that figured out. But yeah, so that's super sweet. Was there any other team stuff that we need to run over?
You know, no, I just wanted to shout out like our friends from Corner Canyon that are working with Kyson and representing us so well at the cross races.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's just so cool to see that. And they just seem like they're having so much fun. And, if you haven't tried cross racing,
Dan, seriously, you got a cross bike now and everything. The first UTCX was this weekend up in Ogden. We had I know that Tommy Zanger was up there repping a Maybird kit, which is cool. I'm not sure who else. I think Riker was at that one too.
He probably was.
Probably won it. Cross is here. Do it. If you want like a great introduction, the Hillside Middle School one that's coming up in a week or two is like my favorite course. That's probably where I'm going to start my cross campaign this year. Cross is sweet. We've talked about it a lot. Did that cool clinic with Thomas Torres, which was awesome. Questions about cross, you can go to utcx.com or PCross or P-Town Cross is the other big one that depending on where you are geographically, one or the other is going to be more convenient for you.
Can you race it on a mountain bike?
Yes, 100%. 100%. I mean, like, there's a reason that the pros use cross bikes on 99% of these courses. A cross bike is faster. But, like, if you just want to do it, no hesitation from me there. In cycling world news, assuming I can segue, if there's anything else you need to run over.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Cycling world news is busy. I'm going to talk about a few things, and then we'll talk about the big thing. Lake Placid World Cup, U.S. World Cup, always super cool to see. Koretsky cleaned up in the men's, and then you had Laura Steger take the win in the women's XCO, which was really cool. Good to see mountain biking back on U.S. soil. Dan and I noticed in the short track, I noticed and pointed out to Dan, lots of aero going on in the men's short track. Koretsky was wearing an aero helmet, skin suit, aero shoe covers. Like, you know, interesting stuff to consider for those of you at the pointy end who are looking for marginal gains and have money to light on fire. Aero socks are sweet. World champs is the one I want to talk about, though. Zurich. The women's race. Huge shout out to Lotte Kopecky for defending her world's title. The big one, though, is the men's. Because Tadej Pogačar, I really think, is starting to make a great argument already for being the greatest of all time, and is definitely has the trajectory to be better than Merckx, which I know is a big statement. For those of you who know what that meant, you'll know that's a little controversial, but for a writer in the modern era to have done what he's done at my age, which is depressing for me, is ludicrous. So if you need a reminder, Tadej Pogačar destroyed everyone at the Giro this year. He destroyed everyone at the Tour this year. He also won Liège, just a casual throw in a monument on what as well for good, you know, for good measure. Showed up at the Worlds as the comfortable favorite and attacked with 100 kilometers to go. About 60 miles to go. This guy goes solo and he blew up everyone. You had Simmons try to hold the wheel, get destroyed. You had Sivakov, like, really, you know, like, you know, they're not slouches, trying to hold the wheel, and was just miles better. There are interviews with Vanderpool and Evenepoel where they said even for him, we thought this was a doomed move and he was kind of throwing away his chances to win. But he is so much better than everyone else in the world right now. To put into context, winning two Grand Tours in the same year hasn't happened since 1998, I want to say, with Marco Pantani was the last guy to do the Giro Tour double. He did the Giro Tour double and won the Worlds and won a monument this year. So the only things left for Tadej Pogačar to win, he hasn't won the Vuelta yet, but he's only done it once. And I think he came third. He would have just monstered this field comfortably. I think he probably could have done all four, but he said he was too tired to do the Vuelta, which is, you know, we'll let him go. He still needs to win Roubaix, which he can and will. Like, this guy is on track to win all of the Grand Tours, to win the Stripes, to win all of the monuments. He's already won Flanders, you know, he's already won Liège. He can win Lombardia. He can win San Remo. Tadej Pogačar, I think, like, the only one whose record can compare, I think, especially considering his age, is Merckx. And I'm sorry, but Eddy Merckx was riding in the 70s when things were different. You know, we talk all the time about how good professional sport in general and, you know, professional cycling in particular is in this moment with, you know, the knowledge that we have about training and nutrition and how good the tech is and everything, for how good the field is and for how much cycling has expanded into a more of a world sport with a deeper talent pool. For someone to be this much better, I really am ready. I really do think of him as the greatest of all time already. So, you know,
he's a cool guy too.
And that's the only thing I wanted to, he's just such a, like, a charming guy. Not that, like, a Chris Froome isn't unlikable, or like Lance Armstrong is a complete douchebag. Like, I would have such a hard time rooting for him. Right. And even like Chris Froome, I think, was a little more mechanical and, you know, not the greatest post-race interview. Tadej Pogačar, like, 2-3 years ago, was posting like stupid memes on Instagram all the time. Like, he's very much like a Gen Z. He's very humble for how good he is. He's very complimentary. He's always saying, you know, Matthew looks great in the Stripes, but I'm going to do my best. He's not like a jerk. Mm. Like, he's very much, he feels like, if I'm going to do this, this is so, but like, if a Maybird rider won Worlds, this is what it would feel like. It's just a very cool, classy, not a, you know, because, I mean, let's be honest, like, a lot of people at the pointy end of professional sport are jerks. Mm. You know, like, they get where they are because they're jerks, you know, in some ways it feels like, and they're pretty cutthroat. But just to have somebody who is that ludicrously talented and that dominant just be a, you know, a cool, nice guy. Yeah, it was a cool weekend, and I think it's good for cycling. Beyond that, cycling world news wise there's some other stuff. I'm not going to go too deep. I mean, there's a million things going on right now. It's actually a pretty busy time in world cycling. But Tadej Pogačar, man, what do you say?
Way to go, Tadej.
There you go. It's because he's listening.
Thanks for listening, Tadej.
Thanks for listening. Moving into the main topic today, this is something that is unfortunately relevant this time of year, that some of you, I've already kind of been dealing with this. This is something that I struggle with. This is an interesting intersection of some mental and physical struggles for some people. Let's talk about being sick.
Yeah.
Cause after this, I'm on my way to get my flu and COVID shots for the year. I've already had a head cold. I work in a school now, so I'm in a Petri dish all day long. People who ride bikes hard and do other sports like that are more susceptible to getting sick. Your immune system gets beat up pretty well when you're riding and have been riding hard since March. What are your thoughts, Dan?
Well, you know, I'm actually going to probably be clearing my throat a lot today because I'm getting over a cold. Like, last Saturday, I came down with a cold, like, kind of Friday night. And at the Nike race, I was feeling like I was getting sick. So I was trying to kind of keep my distance from people. I wasn't really hanging out inside the tent very much. I was staying kind of more outside the tent and wasn't feeling super good, but luckily I kicked this cold pretty quick.
Yeah. The one I had was pretty mild. Yeah, I had a bad one this year.
Yeah. It wasn't too bad. I got over it pretty quick. I'm fine now. There's still a few lingering things, but you know, that's kind of how it is. But yeah, we did an episode a while back. In fact, just a reminder, you know, we're not getting any better at this, so don't be afraid to go back and listen to our old episodes because they're probably better than what
we're
producing.
First off, thank you for listening at all. I know it's kind of crazy to pitch like, oh, and then go listen to us more.
Yeah.
But if you're so inclined, we've done episodes. I'm doing my best to call them things that are easy to discern the meaning of what we talked about in the podcast. But
we did an episode that I think interested a lot of people, but we talked about the immune system and how it kind of signals adaptation from training and through inflammation, and how it was basically, we were talking about whether inflammation is bad or not. And you might go back and listen to that one because it's kind of related to what we're talking about. But one thing that when I learned just kind of blew me away is that how our immune system is what helps us adapt to exercise.
Yeah.
Which is super crazy.
I hadn't realized that either prior to that episode.
You know, that's super cool. And so one point I just kind of want to make right off the bat is that if you are just waiting until you get sick to recover from training, it doesn't really work that way because your immune system is going to be busy doing something else. It's going to be fighting your cold.
Yeah, sick is not resting.
Yeah, and not making you better. Yeah, so your recovery needs to be preemptive. You need to recover when you're not sick. And,
yes.
And that recovery...
sick is taking a toll on your body. It is not restful.
Yeah, that recovery will be a lot more effective if it's preemptive rather than just like you take time off when you get sick.
Yes.
Which is something I'm guilty of.
Well, and like some of, you know, Dan and I think are more in this for the mental health crush than, you know, trying to win a lot of races. And so I think we kind of struggle with the whole like, man, I haven't ridden my bike for a week and I'm pretty miserable. Like, I need my vitamin D. I got to get out.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll get it. I don't want to jump the gun, but this is relevant for everybody.
Yeah. So let's do just a little kind of biology lesson on the immune system, because our immune system is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And it's really complicated, but it's kind of beautiful when you think about it. Like, when you think about it, there are constantly things trying to invade us 24/7 that our immune system's just kind of taking care of, you know?
Like, well, it's almost like tubeless tires that you don't know about all the flats you would have been getting. You know, you're exposed to, like, there's some crazy stats that, like, a quarter of human beings just carry tuberculosis all the time but aren't actually sick from it, that, like... You know, when you just swab any surface in public and, you know, do some cultures on it, and you've got a whole garden of crazy stuff that can, you know, make you really sick.
Yeah. So our immune system is doing stuff for us all the time that we don't even realize. And there's even parts of our immune system that we don't even think, like our skin or our tears or our mucus, or, you know, there's things like that that even help prevent us from getting sick and so forth, you know. But so... the immune system kind of has two parts. And in the last podcast, we talked about inflammation. We talked about the innate immune system, which is kind of the more rough and crude immune system. And then there's the adaptive immune system. So the innate immune system is where you have, they're called phagocytes. They're white blood cells that basically will go in, and when something foreign is detected, there's macrophages and neutrophils that come in and basically just devour this stuff, and or just almost just kind of like blow it up. And this immune system isn't that particular. It kind of would, it'll just kind of destroy everything and just kind of does a lot of damage just to kind of like get rid of those threats, and kind of a, like, it's just like, regardless of what the threat is, it's kind of the same treatment for pretty much anything, you know, whether you get right. a cut or a cold or whatever.
Or even like if you got like a blood transfusion that was the wrong type, like anything foreign that your body doesn't recognize, it's going to try to destroy, right?
So the innate immune system, like a lot of times that's like kind of associated with getting like a fever, you know, which, or in inflammation and so forth that, you know, just kind of signals there's a problem, let's deal with it. And it's almost like kind of like, you know, if say another, say Russia invaded Salt Lake or something, like it'd be like the federal government sending in bombs to bomb Salt Lake to get rid of the Russians that invaded or whatever, you know.
Sure, there you go.
Kind of an overkill, right? But then later, once that's kind of under control a little bit, the government then sends in like special agents to go in a very intelligent way to try and more precisely get rid of the threat. And that's the adaptive immune system, which is kind of the more complicated immune system.
Kind of sounds like a direct-to-DVD Steven Seagal movie.
And so with the adaptive immune system, there's these cells called dendrites that'll go around and they'll get samples of the intruders or the pathogens. And it'll take those samples and recruit help from helper T cells. And it'll find the right helper T cells for that particular intruder. And these helper T, because the macrophages, which are the ones that like eat the threat, they die off quickly. But these helper T cells go in and kind of reinvigorate the macrophages. And they can continue to fight the threat. These helper T cells, they also go and they create antibodies with B cells. And these antibodies are kind of like, they're kind of the custom cure to whatever is invading, to whatever that specific invader was. And these antibodies, they neutralize the pathogens and the macrophages will go and devour them. So these helper T cells, they also turn into memory cells and they keep producing these antibodies, which is why, you know, if you have a sickness once, you usually don't get that same sickness again. And this is exactly how immunizations work.
Right.
You know, they basically will create the antibodies that whenever that same illness is detected again, it already has the solution and it already knows how to attack it. And so it's really basically like your immune system is kind of like customizing itself to whatever threat it needs to customize this to. And then if it has to do it again, it's really good at it the next time.
Right.
So super interesting, super cool and very complicated. So,
and very relevant too. Cause like I said, like you're just cruising around Instagram, you see like the community that we exist in is people who are constantly on their bike or bagging peaks or ski mountaineering and stuff. And you know, especially in this time of year when, you know, the COVID and flu are starting to spike again and people are being sick all the time, like you're already asking a lot of your body, you know, and not that I should have to sell people on like why getting sick is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Cause it's unpleasant. Right. But I think that, you know, you should always be washing your hands and taking care, but like taking some extra vigilance right now. Like if I had to go on a flight right now, I'd for sure wear an N95, you know, like I hand sanitize constantly at work cause I'm mm-hmm. around kids and stuff. And you know, if you're, you know, where you guys are going to school every day, like maybe taking that little extra bit to be vigilant and make sure, you know, carry some hand sanitizer around with you and get your shots and stuff and just do whatever you can to avoid getting sick. And like with the shots, if you inevitably do kind of catch the flu or the COVID, that you have it for, you feel crummy for 3 days instead of having to take a month off the bike. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And so that's kind of what we're talking about today is ways to prevent getting sick and what we do if we do get sick. But I remember when I was a little kid, I thought I was smart. And obviously, let's first just say our disclaimer that like
yep.
Joe and I are both idiots.
I don't know if
doctors.
You
have to be smart to be a doctor.
We're going to tell you some pretty straightforward
Nothing we're going into is going to be too...
No hot takes today.
Yeah.
Very, very cold takes today.
Anyhow, when I was a kid, I had this great idea because like, you know, like if you wash your hands with soap,
mm-hmm.
that kills the sickness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So why don't you just make soap pills so you can just swallow the soap?
Yeah.
And that would cure the cold.
Right.
So for some reason, Big Pharma didn't go along with that.
They never called you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and that's kind of like the first point I want to make is that like, there's really, you know, when you get sick or when you catch a cold or something, you just got to be patient because there's not some like miracle supplement that you can go out and take that's going to just kill that cold virus, but not anything else.
Yeah. There's like, yeah.
And it's interesting because our last podcast, you remember what we talked about? We had that big, long acronym.
Give your body what it needs to do the things you need to do, right?
Yeah. And that's the exact same principle with preventing and dealing with sickness is you got to give your body what it needs to do what it needs to do, because this the immune system is remarkably brilliant. Like you could spend so much time talking about all the cool intricacies of it and so forth, but it's like beautiful but complicated. And what makes it work properly is not just vitamin C or not just turmeric or garlic or, you know, it's a combination of a whole bunch of different nutrients and a whole bunch of different things that need to be present for it to work optimally. It's not like a whole bunch of one thing's going to make a difference. It's got to be a balanced diet.
Yeah.
So
sleep, I'm sure you're going to get to. Well, yeah. Like
So basically I've got
like you can't emergency your way out of this. Like actually I was reading that there's just not a whole lot of evidence that does much to shorten or I think there's some actually like taking some zinc can help a little bit, but like there's no magic bullet. Like even like getting vaccinated, you're still going to get sick. It's just hopefully less.
And it's not and I think the zinc and vitamin C and vitamin E and those things, they do play a part, but it's not like
they're not going to hurt.
It's not like the zinc goes in and blows up the virus. It's like the zinc and the vitamin C and the whatever go in and help all these processes in your body do what they need to do to take care of your body's fighting the illness. You know, it's not like you're taking some chemical that's killing it, you know? So I've got first we're going to talk about preventing, and I've got 10 things, I think, I don't know, maybe 10, about 10. Yeah, sure. 10 things that will help prevent getting sick. Cause that's the ideal thing. You know, you don't want to get sick because you know, if you're sick for 3 weeks out of the year, that's 3 missed training weeks.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
I mean,
and again, you're not resting when you're sick.
It really
does
isn't
not
the same.
Count as rest. Yeah.
So, the first one, and we've already kind of alluded to this a little bit, is nutrition.
Yep.
And this one is huge. And again, it's, you just need the right amount of a lot of things so your body can optimally defend itself against pathogens. You're going to need vitamin C, D, and E. You're going to need zinc, iron, calcium, antioxidants, polyphenols, flavonoids, all those things are going to help out. And the thing is you don't need ridiculous amounts of any one of those things. You just need enough of all of them, you know? And that's the thing with you know, if you're getting sick, should you take vitamin C? Should you take, and I would say maybe, but you don't need insane amounts. And the one thing, and we've kind of talked about this on supplements and before, is you know, if you're deficient in something, then supplements could be beneficial. But a lot of times the problem you get into with supplements is you end up taking so much of something, a good thing becomes a bad thing.
Sure.
You know, if you take too much of something.
And, best case scenario, you're wasting money.
And
yeah.
But, and so a lot of times, if you're taking a supplement, your body may or may not benefit from it. And it's hard to tell if it does or doesn't, you know, maybe you do it just in case. But the thing is, if you can get those nutrients in real food, I guarantee your body's going to use it. And it's not going to get so much that it becomes harmful. You can take too much vitamin C that it can actually become a, you know, it can actually cause inflammation if you take too much of it, you know. But if you're doing that through food, it's impossible to get too much that it could ever be.
And then daily reminder that supplements are not regulated by the FDA and that a lot of them don't even have the thing that they supposedly have in them. Like,
so
eat just, and again, like bottom line, eat a well-balanced diet with a variety of foods, mostly centered around fruits, vegetables, proteins, and high-quality carbohydrates, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the point. It's just eat a wide variety of foods. If you're only eating, like, chicken fingers and French fries, that's not doing your immune system a huge favor.
Nope.
Eat a lot of colorful, spicy foods.
Yep.
Lots of fruits, vegetables.
Yep.
Huge variety.
Fiber. It's that we're proponents, as always, of the no-duh diet.
Yeah. So in addition to all the fancy, colorful, vitamin-rich, nutrient-rich foods, you're also going to need protein. You're going to need energy. You're going to need carbohydrates. You're going to need fiber because that's good for your gut and it keeps you healthy and good for your digestive tract. So yeah, eat good foods. I would say that, again, avoiding added sugar is probably going to help your immune system.
Generally good practice.
Lots of good reasons to.
It's not poison.
Yeah.
But generally, you know, do your best to have your diet.
Did a whole podcast about that.
Yeah.
You know, and I would just say eat real foods, you know, like natural foods, basically, because you really want to save your immune system for fighting actual pathogens and not working overtime because you're just feeding it questionable substances all day, you know. So so avoiding processed foods I think is going to help too. So there you go. So the first one was nutrition. Second one is also kind of nutrition, but again, we're talking about how to prevent getting sick, and this one might be a little surprising, is staying fueled when you're exercising. Like if you ever run out of food and you train in a really, really depleted state, that can actually cause a lot of stress and introduce a lot of stress hormones, which is going to compromise your immune system. So make sure you're fueling your workouts. So that was number two. Number three is hydration, staying hydrated.
Yeah.
So a lot of our immune instruments are floating around in our blood, you know, like our white blood cells, and our lymphatic system also requires hydration. And a lot of our other immune mechanisms, like our mucus and tears and all those things, require hydration. So if you stay in a well-hydrated status, it's going to help your immune system out. It's better for your cell structure. It's just a good idea. So
yeah, athletes carry water bottles around with them at school.
Yeah.
I try to drink a ridiculous amount of water at work every day. That one's easy.
Yeah. So flushes out waste, improves circulation, improves cell function. Okay. Joe, number four, is exercise good or bad for the immune system?
Oh, I'd say when you're well, it's definitely good. I'm sure. I think that there's maybe sometimes if you're sick that some light exercise could help. I can't imagine that the way that most people who listen to this podcast ride bikes is a great thing to do if you're severely ill.
And we're talking about preventing right now.
Oh, preventative?
We'll talk about, like, if you're sick, whether to exercise.
I've never read the studies on it, but I'd be shocked if exercise wasn't massively beneficial to preventing disease. That seems kind of no doubt. Is this a crazy? Am I wrong?
Well, there's a caveat.
Ooh.
Like, moderate exercise is good for the immune system.
Oh, read up on the precautions that teams take to keep the riders healthy during the tour. Team Sky had air purifiers. They wouldn't let people go outside to press things. Like, professional cyclists are kind of medically fragile things, you know?
Yeah, moderate exercise is definitely going to help your immune system, but ultra high intensity, like really high intensity or hard or exhaustive, extensive workouts can actually kind of temporarily weaken your immune system. And I imagine that's because your immune system's going out to kind of repair some peripheral damage, and which could lead you more susceptible to, like, catching a cold or virus or something.
Like
so
professional cyclists are people like that do construction or work in coal mines. I can't imagine that that's good for your, that level of activity and physical stress is great for you long-term.
Well, you know, and that type of training is necessary to be a top end cyclist. So do it, but just know that, you know, around hard training, you're going to need to take extra precautions to stay healthy.
Yeah. So you can't play fast and loose.
Yeah. So yeah, but exercise in general is a booster for your immune system. So the fifth one is smart training. Okay. So, and this is similar. This kind of ties into number four. In general, I would favor consistency over epicness. And by that, I mean, I'd rather see someone training kind of moderately every day for 5 days rather than doing two intense, really, really hard workouts a week. You know, I'd rather see people train an hour a day for 5 days than 5 hours on one day kind of thing.
Yeah, then just kind of randomly sprinking in dramatically hard stuff all the time.
Exactly.
You know, granted, schedules, so, I mean, I know that's probably easier said than done, and we all wish we could have a perfect 2-hour block of writing every day, but I think the principle is that, yeah, like, consistency beats, you know, I don't even know.
Yeah, because, you know, like after you do, like, a point-to-point type effort,
oh,
you're
sick.
Probably going to catch something.
Oh, I did. That's that, right. Know? That's when I got mine. It was right after that. So,
you know, but a normal zone 2 ride a couple times, like,
oh, yeah,
regularly throughout the week, that's just going to help your immune system. And, you know, but occasionally you do need to do epic and really hard workouts. Just make sure that you're recovering from them and you are taking extra care to not get sick after doing those types of efforts.
Yeah, skip the late night Wendy's run with your buddies. Got some sniffles after that.
Yeah,
you know.
Along with smart training is making sure you polarize your training. If you're trying to go hard every single day, and you are activating your autonomic nervous system every single day, that's going to weaken your immune system. So, make sure, you know, 2 times a week your workouts are above zone 2, the rest of the times it's at zone 2 or below. And that's just going to give your body some time so it's not so stressed out every time you're training. It's going to give your body time to, you know, to recover and boost your immune system between those hard sessions. So polarize your training. You know, I think that's, and I think I just realized one I forgot, so I'm just going to add a 5.5 here. Just as much as possible, managing your stress, too.
Yeah. Again, easier said than done. But
exactly. But, you know, training stress, life stress, it all adds up.
Yeah.
You know, it all kind of goes into your stress bucket. Excessive stress does not benefit your immune system, so...
something to consider if you're like still go to med school, but just realize.
Oh, wait, I did have.
Did you?
I did have that. I just missed. It was number 7. So.
Oh, okay. Well,
we did number 7.
We jumped
already.
The gun.
Okay.
Understand. I think most people's stress is somewhat uncontrollable, and it's just kind of your circumstance. But if you have the bit, like, how do you know what your actionable takeaway from this is? Like, if there are any choices that you can make, or when you're weighing the choice to take on something stressful or not, you know, just remember that, like, nothing happens in isolation, and that both your health and your general health and then your ability as a cyclist might be on the chopping block if it comes to taking on really stressful stuff in your life.
Okay, so number 6 kind of goes along with smart training, but I just wanted to have its own number, and that's adequate recovery.
Yeah.
Getting sick is a symptom of overreaching. And you really need to make sure that you're taking, that you're just getting adequate recovery for the training you're doing. And it's funny because, like, we're giving advice on how to not get sick, but this could also be advice on how to get fast on the bike too. You know, it's like,
ideally you're not changing anything this time of year. Really, truly, like, is the bottom line. I think,
well, all I'm saying is, like, if you train smart, like training smart is going to help you not get sick too.
Yeah.
Like
they're doing the things that would help you not get sick are generally going to make you faster too. Yeah. Like,
so
yeah.
I'm kind of like, as I was like getting ready, I'm like, as I'm talking about polarizing and
we say the same things I'm kind of like, this just sounds like
any one of our other podcasts, yep. You know, so it's amazing. People still listen. Hey, so,
you guys are great.
So prioritize recovery. If you're not getting enough recovery, you're more likely to get sick. So, and also a cool thing about recovery is it helps you get faster. So
there you go.
Okay. So I already said 7, reduce stress. That one was kind of didn't have spacing between it. So I missed it, but
formatting sucks.
This one's kind of common sense, you know, just kind of try to avoid sick people if you can.
Yep.
You know,
like I said, if you're on a plane, if you're just in places where, you know, if you're in public, be smart. I mean, it's the same stuff they said in kindergarten. Wash your hands.
Yeah.
You know,
we'll get to hygiene and stuff. But yeah, avoiding sick people helps. But, you know, we'll talk about masks in a second. But it's interesting because, like, Jacob, Joe's brother,
the mysterious Draper brother that people see a little less.
Yeah, I mean, he worked at the ICU during COVID.
Yeah.
And wore a mask every day. He's never had COVID.
Yeah.
And he was around sick people all day, every day.
Yep.
And like our family doctor, like during COVID, his job, he did all the COVID testing and he just wore a mask, nothing fancy. It was like an N95. And I was talking to him the other day, he's never had COVID.
Yeah.
But he was around COVID people all day long, but I think avoiding sick people where possible
right.
helps, you know. You know, 8.5, just, you know, make sure you're current on your vaccinations. I wouldn't recommend doing it right before a race because
you feel crappy.
You feel crappy for
2 or 3 days.
Yeah. But
now's the time. Like, if you haven't already done it, like, I'm literally going to go after this and do it because I've pushed it back too long.
And I'm, you know, as I was like studying about how the immune system works, it just made me realize how smart like vaccines are and what a blessing to the world it's been. And I know there's some people out there for whatever reason.
This is controversial. I understand.
It's not their thing, you know, but to those people, I'd say be glad that everyone else is getting theirs because the world is a better place because of them. So, yeah. You know, you do you, but I'm grateful that most of the people are getting them around here. So, an interesting thing to point out about vaccinations, though, is that, and we'll talk about this a little more in a second, but one of the best ways to make your vaccinations more effective is getting sleep.
Yes.
Because that is when, that's basically when your adaptive immune system does much of its work in creating the, the antibodies. Yeah. Mm. That's when a lot of those are created during sleep. So, so if you get your vaccinations, go get a little extra sleep.
And again, get as much sleep as you can all the time.
Yeah. And we'll talk about sleep in a sec.
Keep jumping
in. Saving the best for last. Yeah. You know.
These all tie together though.
They really do. And nothing here is too groundbreaking. I mean,
no.
Joe was literally falling asleep as I was talking there a second ago.
Had a long day. I've been babysitting 40, 11-year-olds all day, so I'm...
Next one's hygiene. Pretty obvious, right?
Yeah. Don't pick your nose. Wash your hands.
So
all things I've been saying all day long.
So let's talk about washing your hands first. Like, soap kills germs, right?
No, isn't it soap breaks down like the protective layer around germs?
Yeah. Basically soap makes it easier to mechanically remove germs.
Yeah.
It's more like that. It loosens up the germs off your hands. So it'll, when it gets rinsed off, they'll fall down the sink or something like that. You know,
Dan and I aren't doctors. I don't know if you can tell.
The point is there is that like, you got to wash your hands for 20 seconds and you've got to scrub them. If you're just kind of like soap and hand sanitizer aren't the same thing.
No.
Soap takes time and it takes work, but it's more effective than hand sanitizer.
Don't hesitate to hand sanitize if you can't wash your hands.
Yeah.
Definitely do that.
But,
doesn't hurt.
But wash for 20 seconds and rub them around good because that's what's getting the yucky stuff off your hands. So Yeah, don't touch your face. Avoid touching your face. Like, avoid wiping your eyes. Avoid picking your nose. Don't stick your, don't suck your thumb.
I had a kid with a finger in his mouth. I was like, what is wrong?
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't be my kids. Keep your fingers out of your face.
I'd carry a little thing of hand sanitizer around. If you do get the urge to scratch your eye, sanitize first and then
do it with your shirt or something. I don't
know. Get a tissue and so don't touch your face.
Don't be the person, by the way, also if you get sick, don't be the person who's going to stuff. Stay away from other people. Don't make it harder for them. Contribute to that culture.
So make sure surfaces are clean. If you sneeze or cough, do it into a tissue and throw it away.
Actually cover your mouth if you're going to do that.
So that was number 9. Number 10 is sleep, which is probably the most important one.
Yeah.
That nutrition. I don't know. They're all important, but sleep is so important. So I wear a Whoop, and I noticed something that, I like to watch YouTube, and it's something that kind of helps me relax.
Dan's an iPad baby. I am too.
And so a lot of times, at the end of the day, I'll watch something on YouTube or Netflix right before I go to bed, and then I'll fall right asleep just fine, and I'll sleep through the night fairly well, But then I'll look at my sleep data, and I notice that those nights I don't get a whole lot of deep sleep. And the nights I go to bed without using my phone before I go to bed, it almost seems like it takes me a little longer to fall asleep. But those nights that I don't use my phone, I get a lot more deep sleep according to my Whoop.
Yeah.
And that's been pretty consistent. And that's just a N equals one observation.
Yep.
But I think it's very interesting for me. And so, if you're using your, if you're laying in bed playing with your phone, maybe don't.
Yeah, this is my thing. Like we said, you want to be sleeping in a cool, dry, dark, clean, safe place.
Yeah. We did. There are some amazing podcasts on sleep that
not ours, to be clear. there are others.
No, we did some podcasts on sleep. Go check them out. But all right, so here's some interesting things I've learned in getting ready for this. Apparently, sleeping less than 7 hours a night.
Oh boy.
Makes you 3 times more likely to get a cold.
Oh, 3 times. That's great.
But I kind of believe it.
7 hours. That's rough.
Yeah.
Because I think I wake up at 6 every morning. Okay. I'm skirting about that most nights.
And also, insufficient sleep can reduce the antibodies from an immunization by up to 50%. So if you're not,
this is what you were kind of mentioning, to get the best bang for your buck, the best response to protect you from your shots, don't go and party all night long. I mean, this is all such no dust. I'm sorry to keep going to this but it's
I know. We're not learning.
We have to figure out a way to monetize and grift off this, just common sense. Could that be our our supplement that you buy the comp 10% off? Doing common sense, not stupid things all the time.
Yeah.
You have to, pay us a monthly fee for that. Quit the day job.
So those are our 10 ways to prevent getting sick.
Yeah.
So now you may ask what to do if you get sick.
Well, Dan, what do I do if I do get sick?
Oh, good question. I'm glad you asked. So last I went from I saved the most important one for last. This one I'm going to give the most important one first.
You're not a very good content creator, Dan. You have to say, you won't believe number one, and then talk about something stupid for 5 minutes until they've watched long enough for you to get paid from the video. Yeah.
So what to do if you're sick, number one most important thing is going to be sleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the cytokines, that they're the proteins that fight infection. The helper T cells, the antibodies, all those things are produced during sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah. Sleep. You got to sleep if you're sick.
If you're going to stay home from school, sleep all day.
Which is a good point, and I think I was going to get to that in a sec, but laying around playing with your phone and sleeping are not the same thing.
Wouldn't that be cool if they were the same? You could just stay up on your phone all night long and it would be the same thing as sleep?
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
It's not the same thing. Actually, you've got to sleep. laying around, not so good. So that's the first one. The second one is hydration. Again, you need that circulation. You need, because like I said, like a lot of the things that deliver the immune response are delivered through the bloodstream, and a lot of what's pumped out is pumped out through the lymphatic system, and you have to be hydrated for those things to work. So hydration is number two. So if you get sick, you're going to sleep, and you've got to hydrate. And I always get kind of annoyed. You know, you get sick, you go to the doctor, you're hoping that they can give you some...
Write you a script for a pill you'll take that'll make you feel better?
No, and they tell you to, like, sleep and drink. And, like, oh, God.
Drink water, to be clear.
Okay, yeah. But,
no, yeah, it is nice when sometimes you go and they prescribe the Z-Pack or whatever and you feel better in 30 minutes. But generally, it's like...
That's not
you. People complain, like, oh, what did I pay for this doctor's visit for? I'm like, I don't know, man. The truth? it's frustrating. People are always like, oh, you go to the doctor and they just want to know, like, they're just like, oh, exercise more and eat better and get more sleep. There you go. It's like, the moron in the tank top on TikTok trying to sell you something is wrong.
So, yeah. So, hydration and sleep. Number three is nutrition.
Mm.
It's like, eat a lot of colorful foods.
Yeah.
Eat a lot of spicy foods.
You keep going back to that. Is that researched? Is that really?
Yeah. And that's the whole thing, is just like, there are so many little micronutrients that you don't need a lot of, but they do need to be present for you to be as healthy as you can be.
And those are showing up more in spicy foods.
You're going to get those through colorful, spicy, flavorful foods, like, you know, like your peppers and your vegetables. And
go ahead and just throw out, season your food. Season your food. That's my soapbox for today. I keep running into people that don't like season their food. Yeah. Don't do that.
Another one, let me just throw out there, are berries.
Mm, yes.
Berries are amazing.
They can be frozen. They're arguably better if they are. Like, just whatever it takes, eat berries.
Yeah. Lots of nutrients, very little sugar.
My favorite snack is
lots of antioxidants.
Buy the little, $17 sweatshop blender on Amazon. Questionable ethics there aside. Like Greek yogurt. And frozen berries make the most delicious little, you know, smoothie that probably costs 75 cents and is the most healthy thing you'll ever eat.
Yeah, like, when I was getting over my cold, because I got over my cold pretty quick. I will pat myself on the back.
Good job, man. Well done.
I ate a ton of berries.
Yeah.
I was eating a lot of berries.
Yep.
So
berries are
great.
I
was eating a lot. Yeah. Yeah, so...
What a weird podcast. Go eat more berries. Eat berries.
Yeah. So this one I think is kind of cool, because, like, you know, we talked about, like, how sleeping's good, but just laying around all day with your phone.
Nah.
Probably not very good.
Not ideal.
I think movement is going to help you get better quicker, because, you know, we talked about how we hydrate so we have better circulation. And movement's going to improve our circulation. So it's going to make our lymphatic system pump. It's going to improve our circulation. So, you know, these immune warriors in our blood are going to be able to get throughout our body better. So a little bit of movement, I think, is going to help a lot. And so I think, you know, some really, really light kind of zone one exercise for, you know, obviously keep it kind of shorter.
Yeah.
Is going to help you get better quicker in most cases. Yeah. So,
the weather's nice. Nice little walk around the block. Nothing hard.
Nothing
you guys
hard.
Remember, your calibration for effort is off. If you're listening to this podcast, like, you for sure don't know how to calibrate to what is easy. So easier than you think.
Yeah. So the next one is number five, is be patient. Because
this is one I slip up on.
We talked about how, you know, you have the adaptive immune system that kind of comes in later. And that's like the more intelligent immune system that basically kind of customizes antibodies to deal with whatever virus you're dealing with.
Your Navy SEALs versus your frontline, I don't know, whatever tortured metaphor we're going to use here.
It's really like, yeah. These just take a little bit of time to do all that. So it's probably not going to happen overnight unless you already have antibodies that were just a little slow to fight it, you know? So,
yep.
So it takes, you know, it can take like a week.
Yep.
So,
but ideally it doesn't take 2 months because you never let your body get over it.
Exactly.
And that's what I do in high school. I just couldn't. And this, it's hard because this time of year, all your buddies in the pink team or the black diamond team are going to go and do a ride. PCMR is going to be, it's like, that just will be too hard for you. And you can keep blowing it off, but you're just going to be sick forever.
Yeah.
You can prevent your body from getting better. It's actually pretty easy to do.
So be patient, but you do treat the symptoms.
Yeah.
That's the next one, is just some other things that you can do to treat the symptoms. Like, I'm a huge fan of sleeping with a humidifier.
Buy a sleep mask on Amazon. That's the best $11 I ever spent. You can sleep any time of day, anywhere, even in a bright room. Like,
huge advocate for taking a hot shower.
Yeah.
I mean, we did one podcast where we took on cold showers.
Yeah, take a hot shower. Eat comforting food.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. Don't be miserable.
In fact, my wife's grandfather was a doctor, and he was convinced he could beat just about any cold by, like, when he felt a cold coming on, he would take a hot shower and go to bed early.
There you go.
It would help him beat colds. So.
Yeah.
But another one that, and this is maybe, I don't know if this is real popular or not, but those sinus rinses, those help me a lot. Because whenever I get a cold, I'll always kind of get that like post-nasal drip cough that lasts forever. And I found that if I do the sinus rinse, it almost just stops that.
Careful not to do that with tap water, though.
Yeah, you have to use purified water.
Use purified distilled water.
Yeah, bottled water.
Don't
do tap water.
This is insane.
Or you'll end up with a JFK or JR. What's his name?
What? RFK. JFK, or you get shot in the back of the head by a guy in
no,
the repository.
You get an RFK worm brain or whatever.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, or you get the brain-eating amoebas and stuff.
Yeah.
Which, in case the name didn't convince you, are bad. There's probably some guy on TikTok who'll tell you that for a cleanse or something.
Those help.
They're good. Be so careful.
You do kind of feel like you're drowning when you use them, but you get used to them. And yeah, I'm a pretty big fan of those. I think that those
help. Waterboard yourself. Yeah. The real Dick Cheney experience.
Those help me feel better quicker. Let's see. We'll skip.
If you find a dead bear, don't leave it in Central Park. I know that's punching down. There's just way too many. Well, you're like organizing your notes there.
Well, it's funny because I listed movement twice.
Definitely move. If you moved a little bit, move a little bit more. I promise this show is well researched. It's just not well organized or executed. I've been talking all day. I'm so sorry.
Thing is, I made some notes, but have not looked at my notes until now. So
that's okay.
So here we go. Okay. So let's talk about training.
Yes.
While you're sick.
Yes.
Is that okay?
I don't know. You need to give me more details, I guess, is the...
Yeah, you know, and...
Usually no.
Generally, the rule of thumb, I think everyone's heard, and I think it's a pretty darn
fairly
good...
decent.
...rule of thumb is that, like, the above-the-neck rule. You know, as long as your sickness is above the neck, you're okay to continue training. If it's below the neck, you shouldn't train. I would say the only, you know, the caveat to that is... You could be sick above the neck, but it's going to be going down below the neck soon regardless. So I think if you're sick above or below the neck, you need to reduce the intensity and duration of your training.
I don't think that rule takes into consideration the type of people listening to this podcast, the type of people those people ride with, and the place where we live.
Yeah.
So
So if you've got, so you know, careful. If you kind of feel a sniffly, sneezy head cold coming on, I would totally continue training, but I wouldn't do high intensity intervals.
Be judicious.
Or I wouldn't do an 8-hour epic ride.
Err on the side of caution, I would say.
You know, if you do have like a fever or a bad cough, you're going to need to rest. Again, I do think movement is good. Like maybe some easy zone one work could be beneficial. Just be super smart.
Don't be going out in cold weather. And it's not a flex. Training, will say, is not a flex. That I don't care how hard you can hit yourself in the head with a 2x4. It's not impressive,
but
don't do it.
Again, with the above the neck rule, if you do feel any symptoms coming on, I would just avoid high intensity training and I would avoid epic training.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
It's the morning of Nike race number 3 or 4. Am I jumping ahead?
No, this is perfect.
Okay.
This is like your first good segue ever.
I know. Thank you. You're welcome. I'm feeling sick. Do I race? Like, what do I do? If you're like well enough, you're like, I could get on my bike and race it. I need some points for the overall. I don't want to miss it. It's whatever.
What are you telling that kid? That's a really good question. And actually, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I do get asked all the time.
Just kidding. Sorry.
If kids should race or not.
Yeah.
And I think here's where the above the neck rule is pretty important. You know, like if you're sniffling and sneezing a little bit, yeah, I'd go race.
Sure.
If you've got a 103 degree fever, I wouldn't race.
Of you are getting paid. I know it.
Like, if you're hacking up a lung and you've got a really bad cough, I wouldn't race.
Yeah. And don't encourage the culture. Again, just the culture of like, oh, look how tough I am. Like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Don't. Nope. Not impressive. Not cool. And
the thing
is,
say you do, or you are just a little sniffly and sneezy and you have a neck up cold. It's not, racing isn't going to help you get better quicker.
Yeah. I know. So if you're like, I'm sitting in first, if I just get some, I just need to finish, even if I finish 30th, I'll just get some points. There's like a circumstance where I'd be like, okay, go with God. But like, I don't know. Especially if it's like a cross race or something that you were going to do. Like, just
yeah, exactly. Like if it's a Nike race,
there's a world where I'd maybe say yes, depending on the circumstance. I'd
be more likely to, if it's just like some midweek race and you're worried about losing your $18 or whatever you paid for it. I don't even know how much those cost anymore.
Way more than $18. Okay. Let me tell you.
I'm old.
Then
I probably would.
It's like, especially if you've already tanked your overall and you had to, like, I don't know. I wouldn't. Maybe say there's more cases where you'd say no than yes. Is that fair?
Like I said, I'd use more the neck up rule.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, if you have a fever, I can't think of very many cases have you go race. If you're sniffling and sneezing, I'm thinking you're probably okay. It's not going to help you get better.
And you're
quicker,
not going to have you're not going to have a good day either. It's the other thing to consider is like, especially if you're that sick, it's pointless. There's really no, you're not going to finish.
So the last thing we want to talk about is going to be when to see a doctor. So one thing that's, you know, if you think you might have the flu, I would get in to see the doctor right away because they can give you stuff for that. That's going to make it
shorten it
for sure. One way to tell the difference between a cold and the flu is a cold kind of comes on gradually and you kind of just feel it kind of coming on gradually.
You have a day or two, you're like, am I sick?
Am I sick? Yeah.
Yeah.
The flu kind of pummels you pretty quickly.
You wake up one morning and your throat feels like it's full of sand, right?
Yeah. So, usually a cold is going to get, you should start feeling better in a week. If it's getting worse, you definitely want to go get checked out. Like with the flu, you know, you're going to have like if you've got a really high temperature, if you've got like body aches, if you've got, that kind of stuff going, just get in early, get a test. It's just nice to kind of rule other things out. If your cold isn't getting better, if it's getting worse, if you're starting to have chest pain, if your sore throat's so bad that you can't even function, those are all things you're going to want to go get checked out.
Cause the flu will, especially if you didn't get the flu shot, it's going to dog you for a month. Like,
well, and then there's also like this winter, I was sick, you know, I wasn't getting better. I went in and actually had pneumonia.
Oh yeah.
And they were able to treat that and I got over it fairly quickly because I was treated, forth. And, you might get a strep test or there could be other things too. So, if you're not getting, if it's getting worse after a few days, you're definitely going to want to go get checked out. So, that's basically what I have.
Hopefully none of this was groundbreaking.
It shouldn't have been.
Or just kind of reinforcing. Again, like this is, like I kind of said earlier, like you shouldn't be changing anything. All of the things that you're doing now, do them now and always. Like,
well, I think if you're eating chicken nuggets and French fries every meal, you'd need some more color.
Like, oh, it's flu season, time to eat better. Like,
yeah, but I think a lot of the things we've talked about today, it was amazing how similar it is to what we talk about in all of our other podcasts. You know, it's like, you eat well, you train smart, you get enough rest, you sleep well. You're going to not only be a faster athlete, you're also going to be an athlete that gets sick less. And Yeah. So, you know, it's all kind of no dust stuff, but I do think that sometimes it's good to have reminders of why we do some of the things we do, you know, and why it's important to get a good night's sleep, and why it's important to eat a colorful diet, and why it's important to eat enough food, and why it's important to recover from training, why it's important to not try to go 90% every time you work out. And so, you know, so yeah,
there you go. None of this should be groundbreaking. Stay healthy, do common sense stuff, be safe. It's starting to get darker soon. Get your yellow vest out, you know, do all the good stuff. Any questions, please send them our way. Seriously, we're not getting as many. I mean, I don't know how many questions you're getting, but like, we've got room for more. If there's anything.
I have been getting more of the magic words, which means a lot.
Oh, which we need to do. What should our magic word be? I decided last week.
Let's do spicy.
Ooh, spicy. Send a text to Dan that just says spicy. There you
maybe
go.
Not. Let's not.
Send a text to Dan spicy and choose your three favorite emojis to go with that.
No. Let's maybe we better come up with another one.
Oh, gosh. Maybe.
Because I was thinking we talked about spicy foods.
Well, you're adorable. And you obviously are not a middle school teacher. Oh, gosh.
How about vitamin C?
Emergency. Don't text Dan emergency either. You're freaking him out. Vitamin C. We can't come up. Okay. Everything. Yeah. Text Dan whatever you want. He'll know. Text Dan a random word. You choose the random word. Send Dan random words and he'll know.
That's going to be, I don't know.
That's anyway.
I think that's, we just really confused about everybody.
This. Yeah. Send Dan a blank text. Just do a space. Just send him like an empty text bubble. We just won't have a magic word. No magic words for you. All right, folks. I'm going to go ahead and I'm not even climbing off the ladder. I'm going to fall off the ladder and break my hip. If you guys have any questions, send them our way. Please ride safe. Get your shots, wash your hands, stop picking your nose, eat some good food, and go to bed. Peace out.